Triple M Footy is the number one football call on radio.
Footy's on the radio.
And your front row. Welcome to the Friday Rub.
For Macca's Little Wins app.
Triple M rocks footy.
We're at Simmons Stadium to take a look at the Cats and the Dogs, of course. And before we do that, we've got about an hour and 50 minutes of nice football entertainment coming your way. Guests, including Daniel G and Syracuse, of course, a great mate of the Jukes and a very, very fine footballer in his own right now, part of the coaching panel at the Western Bulldogs. And David Wojcicki has come back to Simmons Stadium tonight. I think he's going to toss the coin, but also here to celebrate the unbelievable milestones that we will all celebrate tonight. Jimmy Bartel, game number 300, and Boris Enright becomes the highest games player in the history of the Geelong Football Club, beating the great Ian Nankervis in the process. So we speak to Wojak a little later on as well. But just as I have a right eye sliding down the box here, I can see the big Duke. He's wandered down. He's ready to go, tearing the hot breakfast to shreds. I've got the Chief. And Chief's got a real sort of a Peabody sort of coat set up going and looking very, very sharp, on point. And then the purple right at the end, nicely done as well. Hello, gentlemen, starting with you, Duke. What are you looking forward to tonight?
I'm looking forward to this whole round, Jim. Obviously starts here tonight with a couple of great milestones and two enormous players for Geelong, Jimmy Bartel and Corey Enright. Would be fantastic. Interesting to see if the Bulldogs can find a way to be competitive. This group generally has. It's going to be a massive challenge tonight with a lot of different faces in. They get a couple of good players back, so finding out whether or not they can. And then I can't wait for Saturday night too, Jim. Going to be there for Channel 7 to see that incredible record, AFL historic moment for the little champ, Boomer Harvey. So great weekend getting underway here tonight.
And Chief, you, I don't think I've seen you this rugged up.
Well, we know it's going to be a cool evening, Jim, so I took precautions.
Yes.
And I don't perhaps get as fashion conscious as you do, but it's interesting, the old puffer vest over top of a hoodie and a beanie would be really cool if you were 15 and rode a skateboard, Jim.
Chief, you've got normal, you've sort of a natural layer of warmth insulation, so you don't normally have to get this rugged up.
But Jim, you look like a skateboarder, a teenager.
Chief, I don't care.
Dress
because
appropriately,
this is audio
Jim.
Medium. I don't give a stuff what I look like. I just need to be warm tonight.
Well, that's
because
exactly
it is bloody
right.
Freezing. I've been here for a week.
I even put the Under Armour on underneath.
Did you?
I'm not copping another cold
He's
one
rugged
down
up,
here.
Isn't he,
He's as rugged up as I've seen him, I must admit.
Got the beanie in the pocket if I need
oh,
it.
Oh, no, you're looking very sharp. Hello, Purple.
Hello, Jim. And I'm keen to ask Chief a question that was put to me on the highway on the way down. And it needs to be addressed.
At what point do you plan to...
You're the captain, but it's reasonably serious in a Triple M context. So geez, we might maybe wait another 5 or so minutes.
Look forward to hearing that one now, Damo.
Do it now,
Chief.
Controversial.
Don't bury the lead.
All right, well let's
Purple,
go for it.
Just go with
Chief,
it off the top.
I have it on good authority that you have been, on multiple occasions, asked to coach the Allies in the EJ Witten game.
And you do that,
and
Chief.
That on multiple occasions, you have said... No.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's not quite correct, Walker.
Oh, come on.
Not quite
Chief.
Correct.
Well, clear it up for me then.
I was asked once and I said no.
No, it's multiple times.
I was asked once.
And I've also been told, Jim, that this has reached the highest levels of the AFL hierarchy and that Gillon McLachlan is now involved
Got
in
himself
trying
involved.
To get Chief involved. But
I haven't spoken to Gil.
Chief is about the only person in football who can just say no to everyone, including the AFL CEO.
Reasonable cause, Chief.
Yeah, of course.
Thought it's prostate EJ cancer.
It is. There are a lot of wonderful causes around the globe and... most people don't normally need to pump themselves up as supporting them. I mean, the best charity work is that is done without recognition
or
fanfare.
Well, you could have done that without fanfare.
No, because it's a showpiece. It's a big showpiece, Jim. And let's be brutally honest. It was a rort for how many years?
Oh. So...
Well, am I wrong?
Was that why...
Am I wrong?
Was that why you said no?
I was originally asked, I reckon, first year out of footy. I said I'd never play again. They asked me for the first 3 or 4 years. I stuck true to my word, haven't played, haven't been involved, was never going to get involved while it was going the way it was. But, you know, they're trying to give it a...
This has been rebooted.
Trying to give it a facelift
Chief,
now.
And,
yeah, I understand
they're
that.
They're going to raise a serious amount of money, Chief.
Yeah, they
and
do.
Put your name to something like
Jim,
that. Your massive
Duke,
name
Duke,
and your massive presence in the game.
A lot of people, and a lot of causes
time.
That raise serious amounts of money. Let's not get blinkered about one particular affair.
Now, this is one that's very, very... partial to the game of AFL football with what EJ's legacy is, and so many people prepared to go down and be selfless and give of their time, Chief.
But that's the same, Duke. I could name any cause around the world and say it's a brilliant cause. Why don't you go and do something or lend your name to it? What's the argument?
The argument is that people do that, Chief. So why would
Yeah, exactly.
Why wouldn't you choose?
So I do other things and not this.
What do you do, Chief?
Why do I have to do... As I just said, Duke, you don't look for fanfare or self-promotion when you talk about these things.
Well, I think it's an absolutely brilliant cause, Chief, the prostate cancer, and I think they do an amazing job, the E.J. Whitten Foundation. And, Chief, this is something...
Was it 6 cents in the dollar that was going there,
Duke? No,
Is that right or wrong?
No.
I'm going on what I've read about this thing and heard about this thing. You tell me what's right and what's wrong.
I have no idea what's right and what's wrong. All I know is this, that I think it's a very serious cause, and they are, as Duke said, rebooted the whole setup around it. And I think it would be very nice if you got involved.
I hope it's a good affair. Let's hope it's a good affair.
It will be a wonderful affair.
I think you might reconsider, Chief.
At halftime tonight, you're going to hear some names that are some of the biggest names to ever play this game for the All-Stars and for Victoria. And, Chief, there will be a huge amount of money raised on the back of this.
That's it.
I promise
you. You might be involved, Chief.
And I'm not ruling you out just yet.
No, I'm not either.
Because I think you'll find it in your heart.
Got a pair of six guns for you.
I think, Chief, this is what you're doing. You're just doing the old, I won't be involved. And then as it gets closer, suddenly the name gets more and more involved in the story. And then... bang, on the week, comes the Chief.
You know any better than that, Jim.
I think you've summed him up.
Jim, and the key to this is that there is a lure of Tony Lockett playing.
Yes.
And this is where this gets to. And I've heard that he will not play unless Chief is involved.
And that, you
got that the wrong way around, because BT tried to tag me the other day. I said, I'll tell you what, you get Plugger to play and I'll probably play. As a throwaway line, he said, oh, we'll get Plugger to play then. Do you know what the chances of getting Plugger to play are?
They're reliant upon you saying yes. He has apparently said, or given an undertaking to someone involved in this, that if you coach the team, he will play.
We've got an understanding, Plugger and I.
What's that?
Not to get involved in any of this sort of stuff that makes us look even more stupid than we already are.
Chief,
I think you should reconsider.
But what's the point of me coaching? What do you say to a group like this? I've never coached. That's not my go. Get someone that's a
coach. You've CEO'd.
But
do they need administration for it? Do they?
No, Logger? But you ran everything at that stage.
But yeah. Also, Chief, you've got a nice entertainment bent, and that's a big part of this particular setup, where there needs to be someone who understands the minutiae around making people giggle and
the nuances.
Listen,
Chief,
to the way you blokes ran it the last few years.
I think
you've got plenty of upside.
Your bubbly personality, Chief, would come to the fore.
Well,
your love
would,
of people,
Chief.
and your embracing of.
I hear what you're all saying, and again, I say, pair of six guns.
I think you could be the most entertaining and the biggest draw card in the coaching.
You're
ranks
now being a super
since
flog.
Sam Newman.
You're now being
and
a massive
your great
flog,
mate, the
Jim.
Enforcer, who did it for a couple of years and did a fantastic job, wore the gabardine coat and everything.
Is it because it's a network clash? Is that what it is? Because I've been told you've got permission from your network to go and work on
lot
the other
of the
one.
A lot of the Fox personalities will be
it's
on this.
Nothing to do
coverage.
With networks. I would never be petty like that.
You can ask your director. Do you feel a bit selfish, Chief, when we talk about this?
Not at all.
You don't have any remorse?
Not a,
happy
bit.
To,
not a bit.
You're happy you're saying you are selfish and you don't care? Or you?
I think I'm, as a general rule, probably a selfish person. I tend to do things that I would like to do, but, you know, you have to cut your cloth accordingly. I've got myself in that position where I don't do things that affect other people adversely, Duke, so I just do things that I want to do myself.
But, Chief, you've got a good line of sight
coaching
on,
ain't one of them.
On your own greatness. So you understand where that sits.
He knows very
so
well.
So you can't,
place.
Chief.
You do, Chief.
You can't
Jim.
Then be selfish with that. You've got to actually
Jim.
Allow people
Jim.
Access to that.
You cannot build on top of Everest. There's nowhere else to go, Jim.
Can you believe he's just put a full stop on the conversation right there? Can you believe what we just heard, Duke?
Oh, I can. Coming from that man, I know exactly.
Looting there too.
Okay.
Middle thing.
The fifth time he's flipped the bird
at
all
of us. He's flipping doubles at us. He's handing doubles out like they're confetti.
Chief, I've been around long enough to know that people can change their mind if they keep getting asked by the right people. And I've been told that you may buckle on this.
Okay. Well, we'll wait and see.
Is there an urn in it for you, Chief?
I don't look for
Ooh,
urns.
Now we've struck on an interesting...
No, that's a dangerous place to go, because I think that's been one of the issues for a lot of people.
I would never even think about that, Jim. I think that there might be more to play out in this space between now.
It'd be nice if the Triple M family and the Pack got involved and maybe shared their thoughts on whether they'd like to see Chief.
Well, they'd like to see Blaze too.
They'd like to see Lockett, wouldn't they, Dar? So absolutely. The only way of seeing Lockett is to see the Chief. That's what he has made very clear to the powers that be, that he will be involved if his great rival throughout his career will also be involved.
That's it. Your careers are intrinsically linked, Chief. Absolutely. This might be the last little play.
Absolutely. Just give something back to Lockett.
So maybe. I'll be a joint coach with Plugger if you get him organised. There you go.
Oh, hello.
So you'll play and coach.
Okay, whoever told me that.
To playing.
that's a concession.
Spud can make that happen.
Well, can you do that, though? Because you're an ally,
as
though.
If Spud
can make that happen. If you're listening tonight, Spud, he'd just pick up the phone to Plugger, get him down from Barrel. And they make that happen, Jim.
He did let us down horribly.
Well, he can't even get anyone on the phone, does he?
And he was in a car for 9 hours and couldn't latch onto him for 10 minutes.
At least he'll talk up for a week that he may make it happen. That'll give us another week out. Oh, it's a chance. I think it's not out of the question.
Yeah. I'm looking at your body language, Chief, and I'm seeing a door opening. That's where I'm seeing. I'm seeing just a little scintilla of opportunity for you there, Chief, and we will love it.
I don't think you're letting on.
Not a scare egg, Jim.
Would you like to be less selfish if you had the time again?
Not even a vestige of hope where you're going, Jim. I think you just need to give it a spell.
now he's dirtied up.
I think he's a little bit of you've filthied up a touch.
Hardly.
It is an interesting game tonight, Purple, and it's interesting for lots of reasons. But Tom Boyd has been a big part of the week's discussion. I think the president of the Western Bulldogs, Peter Gordon, got involved in that discussion, did he? Was that today?
Yeah, it was, Jim. He's on his regular radio spot on ABC Radio. And we'll listen to what he did say before we talk about it ourselves. But this is in relation to the commentary around the week, of which Das was part of, and we'll get to that in a moment too, about the potential or the suggestion to Tom Boyd that he take a pay cut off the many millions of dollars that he's on.
So the acquisition of Tom Boyd hasn't cost us a single player, and it hasn't interfered with our capacity to be competitive at the end of the season in the draft, and I'll rely upon our list manager and our recruiting people to do it. But look out for us in the off-season.
Yeah, so look that was a longer conversation than merely that too, but what he was referring to there, they are signalling intentions, the Bulldogs, to go after players, as they have done in recent years, as they did when they went after Tom Boyd after they lost Ryan Griffin. But the Michael Hurley situation is the reason we're talking about this aspect of this conversation right now. And, Das, I have a view now and have had it for a couple of weeks that Hurley will either stay at Essendon or go to the Bulldogs. Now, look, that
and
may not...
And there's no other player in the game?
I think there's other players in the game, Jim, but my reading of it is that the Bulldogs' interest in him is more significant than the other clubs at this stage. But things can change, so it's not a done deal. That's the case. And Essendon still remains quietly confident that he will stay. But if he is to come in, obviously the conversation around Boyd's wage comes into it. You said, and I thought quite provocatively during the week, that you, if you know, under certain circumstances, should suggest or would, if you're Tom Boyd, consider taking a shave off what he's earning each year in order to facilitate such a move. And I say provocatively because he did sign the deal in good faith when the Bulldogs went to him, and I think he's got every right to take it. I can certainly see where you're coming from, but I just felt that it sort of created more pressure around Tom Boyd than what was already at
play. And that wasn't my intention to do that, Damo. I took a call from our little man, Jay-Z Clark, from the Herald Sun, and he pitched it to me along those lines. Have you heard that Michael Hurley's a chance to go to the Bulldogs? I said I hadn't. You know, do you think you'd be a good fit? I said, I think you'd be a brilliant fit. Like a defender that plays the game the way Michael Hurley does would be great. Do you think it would be a good idea if the players took a pay cut, if they had that? I said, yeah, that would be great. Would you put Tom Boyd in that category? I said, yeah, of course it would. You know, someone who's been, I don't think it would be a bad PR thing for the really good clubs have been prepared to take less money to get players and to keep players. And that was where I was commenting on. I didn't sit down one morning and think Tom Boyd should go in and hand back a couple hundred grand because they've overpaid him. Not at all. And I don't think that. But as part of that, if I'm sure he would be into that. If they could secure a player that was going to make them a better team, I don't think there'd be any issue with that. So it probably read as though I'd woken up and decided I wanted to put him under the pump. The opposite of that, I think he's going along quite nicely, Tom Boyd. I don't think there's any real issue with the way he's developing. And I wouldn't be going and handing any back unless I could secure a player like Michael Hurley, and then it would be fair.
The concept of it, Chief, in a player giving back, and there's a difference in actually giving back $100,000 or $200,000 or smoothing out that contract and extending it by a couple of years and still getting the same freight that you've actually already committed to receiving. What did you make of that?
What you said originally, I think he's entitled to get what he was offered in the first place. That was the arrangement that he had. at different stages in this game of ours, there are players that get overpaid compared to how they perform. Often it will be a big bloke because we know how long they take, how difficult life can be for the big blokes, and they take a while to develop and all those sorts of things. So I don't think he should be under any pressure whatsoever to even contemplate doing such a thing. They'll have to manage their books accordingly, and I think that's what Peter Gordon was trying to say. They'll back their people to work around that and still have the ability to lead a good player, lure a good player if they can get one.
Just all the talk around Tom Boyd too, Jim, and it has prompted other clubs to basically sit up and take notice as to what is going on. If the Bulldogs are to go and get Hurley, something has to give somewhere. And while the Bulldogs maintain, and I take them fully at their word, that there's no issue in their mind that Tom Boyd will be there, but it has forced other clubs to at least analyse what's going on there. And they have asked the question in that very broad footy sense. And then when I say they, at least two that I know of. And it's just prompting these conversations. And as we know, anything sometimes does and can happen in the trade period. So there's more pressure yet again on this man who is still only into his third year and tonight runs out onto this venue as the most crucial, or one of the most crucial chances for the Bulldogs.
So when you say questions, you're saying clubs have questioned the AFL as to how the Dogs plan to fit this into the cap. Is that what you're saying?
No. What are you going to do with Tom Boyd? Will Tom Boyd be there?
And Damo, I find that proposition just so ridiculous.
And the Dogs do too.
If you looked at this side and said you could get the person was judged by the length of the straight, the best young forward in the game, who's had a shoulder injury, who played the first 10 games of his development, that you would entertain giving him up. It can't happen. It just can't happen with that plan, and it won't happen. He's got a long time to prove to be the player that he is, and there's no sign that I've seen that says he won't become that player.
Really?
I think when you look back at what's happened since free agency came in and the like, and we've looked at these long-term massive deals. There's been three huge deals that have carried a seven figures a season plus sort of tag with them. That was Ablett, Franklin and Boyd. Two of them were for experienced, established stars that had already made their mark on the game. One was an audacious bid to lure a young player that everyone thought was going to be a star and get him because they desperately needed him and wanted him to grow with the team. So I think you've got to give it time, give it a few years to see whether they get much benefit from it. But, you know, I don't begrudge the Bulldogs for having a crack. Whether they got the right person or not remains to be seen, but I certainly don't begrudge them trying to get someone before they reach their peak.
We've talked about him regularly throughout the course of the year, Chief, and I know what Darcy's views are very strong and very genuine in saying, when he says he's going to be the player that they want him to be, but do you see, with the 29 games he's got behind him, the guarantee that he's going to be a person who justifies such a
team? I wasn't guaranteeing that, Dame. I was just saying that there's no alarming signs that this is a fail. I mean, it's going to take time to know. So there's no guarantee in a 29-game player, but
I haven't seen enough of him that's going to indicate he's going to make it to that level. I think he can be a decent player, but he's got a lot of development to do to get to that really upper echelon.
Yep.
Well, we'll watch with interest tonight because he'll be involved. Speaking of player movement, Purple, there's lots of it being discussed at the moment. Brad Hill, of course, has flagged his desire to go back and play with his brother. I find this one really interesting too, to be honest, because often if you get it, like, for instance, David Swallow could well have turned around and said, well, I'd like to play with my brother too. And Gold Coast would have said, yeah, well, best of luck with that because you're number one draft pick, you ain't going anywhere. So what interests me is that Clarko very openly said, yeah, okay, well, we get that. We'll have the discussion and see what we can do. So there seems to have been an acceptance of it very quickly, which I find interesting.
Yeah, and I take him at his word that they're happy to just facilitate the move of a young man who wants to be with his brother, and I get all that. But there are behind-the-scenes issues with Bradley Hill, Jim, that in isolation on each occasion, they're not massive and they're hardly worth talking about. But the cumulative effect of dealing with his issues off-field has got to a point where when he goes to them and says, I want to go back to Perth, they're okay with it because they are trying to bring in other players yet again. They do it better than the other club. Tom Mitchell's one of the many men they've targeted this year and have got some traction on his response to that. They're going to need to clear some money anyway, and that may well be one way they do it. And just with that movement, Jim, Chris Mayne's a free agent at the Dockers. I do believe Hawthorn, amongst other clubs, have shown some interest in him. And while he's a free agent, it wouldn't be necessarily a swap, but things can be manoeuvred around that particular situation. And the Dockers, too, do have an issue because they have given a form of undertaking to get Cam McCarthy onto their list. They haven't got a lot of wiggle room when it comes to bringing Hill in as well. And West Coast, as much as he wants to go to Fremantle, West Coast will be taking a look at what happens there.
All right, Prestia and O'Meara, everyone, whenever player movement gets brought up, keeps asking about those two.
Yeah, Prestia, for some time now, in fact, round one time, is almost certainly going to be back in Victoria in some form next
linked
year.
Linked with anyone? Like
Richmond's the one that's still, in my eyes, is front running there. There are other clubs who have put the question and the serious one out. O'Meara, Jim, as you probably heard, about a month ago, I changed my view on that. I felt he was going to stay.
Yep.
I now don't think he's going to stay. And I believe he's got some good offers. I'm not going to link him to any club because I think there's five or six still in the race. But Gold Coast is now really worried. They've put a two-year deal to him and they have not had a response from him. And if I'm Gold Coast, I'm only giving him 2 years, given he now hasn't played for 2 years. And there is another complication with the knee at the moment. It's unrelated to the situation that's kept him out of footy for that duration, but it is still an issue that may require some treatment before he actually plays again. And that's the dilemma he's in right now. But it's good money they've given for him for those 2 years, but it's not the 4 and 5 year offers that he's getting from Victorian clubs.
And Tom McDonald amazes me. This is an accomplished big defender and they're very, very hard to find. I think he plays game number 100 Duke this week. For Melbourne, and yet hasn't signed, and you virtually hear nothing about the fact that he hasn't.
Yeah, I haven't been across that, where that's at. I mean, I think if you're Melbourne and you're wanting to build a side, he's a very, very key plank in that. He wouldn't qualify for free agency or restricted free agency, would he?
No.
As of yet. So, as we watch Bill Brown this walk across the
ground. Have a look at him,
No going around for Bill, straight across.
He's Mr. Geelong.
He is, isn't he?
The strut.
And don't worry, if that was a white jacket, it'd be you could use it as a sight screen and go to cricket. Look how wide it is. It's just like bloody axe handle and a half. And that's not because of any strength.
He's just strut past the security guards.
No,
he's walked straight through the middle of this ground.
He just absolutely runs it on. So, Tom McDonald, just to finish on the player movement purple, it appears... Now, he's not Alex Rance, necessarily, but he can still play, and he's a big, strong bloke, and they are so hard... Ask any list manager how hard they are to find and retain at your club, and yet no one seems to be talking about it or taking any real interest in the fact that we're at round 19 and he still hasn't committed.
Yeah, and you know my view, Jim, the closer it gets to the completion of a season, and in Melbourne's case it's 5 games away now, that indicates, and history will say, that means the player is certainly very prepared to walk.
And he is playing with his brother.
He is playing with his brother.
He's so already doing
that. He doesn't need to. But it's been dragging out all year. And
how old
I think
would Tom McDonald be?
I think about 22 or 3, is he?
Is he that young?
Game 100. Was he a mature? He wasn't a mature age player. No.
I think 24 at the most, you'd think. So
I'll check that.
I just find it, Duke, astounding. When I know we had, at North Melbourne, had a situation where Robbie Tarrant was becoming, heading into restricted free agency. Now, he had horrible injury issues and hadn't played anywhere near as much footy as he would have hoped to at that point. But there were obviously clubs circling because of that. And I remember all the discussions around, we just have to keep this bloke. At that height and that ability level and that ability to stand on the gorillas, we just didn't have anyone else. Yeah. So it was, you just had to pay whatever you needed to make sure he stayed. So this guy is, I think, of that same type of player. And yet, if he goes, I can't think of anyone else at Melbourne who's going to play the same role.
Yeah, it'd be staggered if they were prepared to let him go. There must be something that we don't know about that one, Jim. On the surface, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Turns 24 in September, okay, too, Jim. And the worry for Melbourne, too, is the next year out of contract situation involving the guy at the other end of the ground, Jesse Hogan.
All right, we need to get to a break. No changes for either clubs here. There might be people from Melbourne saying, look, it's no worries. He's basically committed. We just don't know. It's an interesting one. Well, we opened up with Purple just having heard that the highest office in our game had actually intervened to try and coerce the Chief into coaching the Allies in the EJ Witten Legends game, of course. Massive name, so why wouldn't they try and get him?
Massive
a Queensland boy, so they need someone with that sort of profile to coach against the Big V. So we understand the backdrop of why they would have wanted to. Anyway, Chief just blanket noted, not only to the people asking him, but also to us, just said no chance, no interest.
Gave us the bird a few times.
He did, and I sort of said to him, well, you've never been any doubt that you're a man who's got a very clear line of sight on your own greatness. And therefore, it led to the Chief saying this about himself. But Chief, you've got a good line of sight on your own greatness. So you understand where that sits.
He knows very
so
well.
So you can't,
place.
Chief.
You do, Chief.
You can't then be selfish with that. You've got to actually allow people access to that.
You cannot build on top of Everest. There's nowhere else to go, Jim.
You can't build on top of Everest, was the statement. And the Wolfpack,
oh, they love it, Jim.
It has lit them up.
Benny Lepetri, trumpet of the year, according to him. Sam says that that is the greatest one-liner of all time.
Yep.
Chief, at his truculent best. We love it.
That's it.
Chief will coach against if it's Spud Frawley. That's from Matt Sell. No, the Everest line, though, Jim, is just clogging
you can't
up
build on Everest.
The screen here.
You baited me, Jim. You know you baited me. And
I
tumbled in.
But
let's be brutally honest. Modesty and humility aren't, you know, personality traits that we tend to flaunt with here on Triple M.
No, we avoid them.
I mean,
them
we're
at
looking
all costs
at them in the rearview mirror, Jim.
Exactly right, Chief. And unlike a few of the rest of us, you've actually got good reason to avoid it at all costs. So we like it when you do. Pretty much as simple as that. Speaking of which, ship off not too far away. We're looking forward to that enormously. Tomorrow night, you said you're doing the game, the Saints and the North Melbourne Footy Club, Duke. And Brent Harvey plays game number 427, breaks the Michael Tuck record that stood for 25 years, and many, I think quite correctly, assumed that that would stand forever. It is an incredible thing we're about to see.
Yeah, it's fantastic, and I think a player of his stature and size and what he had to overcome initially to get drafted, it's one of the things I love, Chief, the most about our game, is that you can, you know, be your shape and size, you can be my shape and size, and you can also be jockey size and dominate in our game and play as well as he has done right from the start. And we've all got memories. I remember the state game where he kicked 5 goals and came from nowhere to be in that Victorian side. And I remember thinking, this is just extraordinary that this little fella can do what he does. And the fact that he's out there now against your old mate and your old teammate, sorry, going past your old teammate record in Michael Tuck is a massive moment for the game.
It's fantastic effort, isn't it? And just think, you know, that was more than 20 years ago that people were potting him for his size. And here we are 20 years later and Caleb Daniels experiencing the same sort of thing. Everyone said you're too small, you're not quick enough, this, that and the other. And we're finding that a good football brain is allowing him to break into the game and start to survive. But Boom has been fantastic. You have to respect players that have that durability over such a long period of time to get themselves up week in, week out. And you might say there's a bit of luck involved with not having serious injuries, but it takes a hell of a lot of preparation to get yourself up both physically and psychologically for 20 plus years, and it's amazing that he's done that. It's hard to imagine, given that we think he'll go on for a bit longer yet. I mean, people said Tucky's record would never be broken. Who's going to get near Boomer? I mean, is there anyone on the horizon that's chalked up 200, 250 plus that is going strong?
Looks like he's going to double his career from that point.
Yeah, because you just can't imagine it.
No, you can't. And interesting, speaking about the height bit, Purple, you probably might have heard a bit of it on the way down. The great, and we use that word too often, but it fits with this man. The great Barry Cable joined us from Perth on the rush hour, and he and Boomer are about the same height.
Right.
And he played 400 plus games for Perth in the Waffle, East Perth, and then obviously a double dual premiership player with North. We asked him about the whole height thing, and he said, look, it doesn't work if you're a key position player, obviously, but he said if you're a rover, which Brent and I are, he said the ball's often on the ground. And if it's on the ground, you're at a great advantage if you're our height, which sounds so simple, but it actually makes a hell of a lot of sense.
It does. Lee Matthews style in the sense that statement makes. And the package that the Two Dogs, Luke Jackson, put up last night, Jim, on the footy show, the goals he's kicked this year, Dustin Chief, they are as good a goals as he's kicked throughout his career. He's actually tracking, Jim, believe it or not, to get a season tally record of goals.
Yep.
He's up to 29 from the 17 games he's played. His career best is 36, or 35, I think it is, sorry. So, he's probably going to finish the year with, as the highest goal score tally in his entire career of 21 seasons. So I'm with you, Chief. I feel he has to go on next year. I know there's still that conversation to be had with Brad Scott and others, probably at the end of North Melbourne's season, and you probably do park it till then because it probably does come down to where they finish in the season. But I can't see why he wouldn't go around again.
It's no surprise that his goals tallies are getting bigger towards the end of his career, though, because he's playing more predominantly permanently forward.
Yeah.
And small forwards that can kick you 40 goals a year, two goals a game, are hard to come by.
Yep.
And if he's good enough to do it, well, why wouldn't he keep going?
You played with Michael Tuck in his final game. It happened to be he was captain of the premiership winning team of 1991. I think you kicked a lazy six, Chief. Did you feel you were playing with him for the last time on that occasion? Because he didn't. He didn't feel that was his last game.
No, he didn't. I think it was probably a good time to go out, though, because he was 38. He had the big bushy beard, Tucky, and he was, you know, he'd started to have a few injuries with his eye. He had a really bad eye injury and a couple of other things. He was brilliant to play with, Tucky. But once you get to that age, you just think, well, what's the right way to go out? Now, some people don't care how they go out, and that I guess it's up to the player how they want to go out. And you know, he wanted to play on. I read something today where he wanted to play on another year. Yeah. And I think the club thought, well, what better way to go out as the games record holder, holding up the Premiership trophy, because you're getting to the stage where you're probably not going to be captain if you want to go on, and who knows how your form's going to be, and you don't want legends running around in the reserves.
Yeah, it was an issue at the time.
But
too.
If a player wants to go on and doesn't care, you know, about any of that, well, then it's probably the player's decision, isn't it? If he's prepared to bag himself to try and score a game.
I don't know, Chief. I've always used this analogy. John Inverarity, I thought, was one of the great modern selectors of Australian cricket. Oversaw the great era that came out of the Hayden, Martin, Langer, all of that, and then introduced, you got Australian cricket back to where it should have been as the number one test playing nation, all the rest of it. He always said to me that the time to drop a player is before you start wondering publicly whether he should be dropped.
Yeah.
Because by that stage, it's too late. Should have already been done. Mm. And we don't do that enough in footy, I don't reckon. There aren't enough blokes that go, you know what, my time's up. Mm. So they tend to play on, and then it becomes, is he worth his spot in the team? And I'm not saying this is the case with Boomer, because he's absolutely flying, but I'm saying in general, over the course of the 18 clubs, how many times... Matty Scarlett, a great example of someone, for me, who retired at exactly the right time.
I don't think many do in sport, though, Chief. Yeah. Sorry, because I think when you're out there, you've got this belief in your mind, otherwise you'd give it away straight away, that this game you're going to play your best. You're going to train, and it's going to happen this game. And then you get back. You're so focused on yourself and what you can do that you don't have that clarity.
So it's very rare to have that clarity. Out of your hands.
Well, that's right. But that often is a very hard conversation when you've got runs on the board like a Matty Scarlett who did have that foresight, but very few do.
Could have said that about Boomer Harvey, though, in 2012, couldn't you, Jim? Yeah. And yet he's tacked on another 4 years after. That was the year, didn't he get the final in Perth where he got 6 weeks suspension out of the final when he came back to Melbourne? And I think he ended that season probably with as much doubt as
were you even thinking then? I must admit, I never was, not at that point.
Oh, well, I think if you're using the analogy that John Inverarity told you about retiring before you start talking about it, I think there was probably more talk, or equally as much talk then as there is now.
I honestly don't remember that. I remember it being a really disappointing game, and he obviously belted whoever it was and missed those weeks at the start of the next year. And it was this, but I don't remember thinking at the time he's nearly finished, I must admit.
He's only 34 then, I think.
Very few players go a season too early. And more often than not, players will go a season too late. But we shouldn't also be flippant about it, because it's not just about whether they love the game, whether they're playing as well as they can. If they're earning a good quid and they've got a family and they've got a future and kids and all these sorts of things to consider, you want to eke out the best livelihood you possibly can out of the game. And if that means pushing your body to the limit, trying to get one more year, because it's going to earn you two or three times or four times what you could possibly do elsewhere, you got to understand that's a motivation as well, and a very real motivation that we should understand.
Yeah, we do, Chief. There's no doubt about that. But the players are often not great at understanding that even with that thinking, when a club comes and says, I don't care how much you want to play on, your time's up, that's how footy works.
And the tragic part is great players... then a lot of them, it takes a long time for them to return back to their
clubs. Yeah, it does.
They hold a grudge, and sometimes it's never repaired.
End up with a forest on their shoulder, and it's just, you're absolutely right. Ship off, Chief?
You want to be shipped off?
No, well, I imagine I'll be in there. When you're looking for content and you're low a bit, you throw me in. And I don't blame it. Massive name, and it sort of helps you with all that sort of thing. But Chief,
he's in rare form tonight. The Chief,
I think you've got a real look in your eyes about this particular ship off.
You're not a big name, Jim. Let's be brutally honest.
I wondered how long.
And if I'm Everest, you're Green Gully, my friend.
Just see if there was a nibble there from the Chief.
Ship the hell off.
Ship off.
Ship off.
Ship off.
Find a little boat and ship the hell off. I'm going to start with a gentleman that's been in ship off before, Jim.
Oh.
The number 19 ranked tennis player in the world.
Oh, no.
Nick Kyrgios.
Come on, Nick.
Playing in the Toronto Masters. Got beaten by the world number 370.
What's the way?
Young Dennis... what's his name? Shapovalova. Mm-hmm. Now, he won the Wimbledon Juniors and beat an Aussie boy in the final there. Right. But he's no budding top 20. He's not going to be a superstar, this kid. But Nick just couldn't switch on. And then he was quoted afterwards as saying how much he's enjoying Pokemon and the fact that he's playing more Pokemon Go than tennis.
Oh, no.
And given I had a go at Pokemon Go last week, Jim, I think Nick can chip off. Yes. That's just annoying the crap out of me, that. Have you been watching the PGA, Jim?
Yes, a little bit.
Baltusrol. Annibarne Lahiri.
Yes.
Did you see him in round one?
Didn't.
Right. He wore bright green pants with a purple shirt and white and brown shoes. He should be suspended by the PGA just for being wrong, Jim, and he needs to ship off right now. That was seriously wrong. The Olympics Athletes Village in Rio. What about the problems they've had? Water leaks, gas leaks, faulty electricity, sewage problems with the toilets, general filth.
Yes.
What happened? Did the games creep up on them?
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, when did they put their bid in, do you reckon?
About 8 years ago, Chief.
Yeah, it's not like it creeps up on you. Mm. So, Rio, you can all ship off.
Kitty Chiller not happy again, Chief.
And shouldn't be. And speaking of the games, what about Russia, who are now having this so-called Stars 2016 competition for all their athletes? They've got 135 of their drug cheats that are just going to have their own games in Russia.
Yep.
To be really, really good. And I can guarantee you they'll be fudging the times
so
that some of them come up better than what the winning Olympic times and distances are. So, do you know who I'm going to ship off there?
Who?
There's only one bloke we can ship off.
Oh, not the
Vladimir.
You're not,
yes,
no.
Putin.
Oh,
ship off.
Ship Vlad off. Crikey. He'll come after you on the horseback, Duke.
Yeah, good luck. Good
with
luck.
Topless.
With the big shirt off. Those, I know you're heading over there, Duke, and I'll be very interested in your thoughts while you're over there for Triple M and also on your return. Those pictures that you see of the players, the athletes' village and the rooms. If you're doing some time in the big house... Your joint ain't much better than that. The two roll-out beds that are a foot and a half apart with a tiny little sort of table in the middle of them, and that's it.
See, I'm glass half full on this stuff, Jim. I reckon a lot of this gets blown out and gets talked up, and it's going to be a disaster, and it's going to be... I went to the Commonwealth Games in India about 6 years ago.
There's a big worry about that,
The bridge that connected the athletes to the main stage... fell over 2 days before.
Oh, come on.
They built a new bridge in a day and a half. Let the army in, and that worked fine. So it looks as though it's always going to be bad. And at the end, Kitty called a few plumbers in. They cleaned it up and sorted it out. It wasn't quite the big drama that Chief portrayed it in Chip off.
Just
get
on.
The Olympics is going to be fantastic. Just talk it up.
These are some
the Olympic Games.
The best athletes in the world that have to fly. They get their opportunity once every 4 years to win the Holy Grail. They fly in, and fair dinkum, George Brayshaw is going on a camp this week somewhere or another. They'll be in better conditions than the world's best athletes.
I think the American Dream Team will sort themselves out.
That's what I was about to ask. Do you reckon they're staying in the athletes' village?
I think there's a category of athlete that have got themselves sorted out.
They're
too,
on a ship, aren't
Ocean
they,
liner.
Yep. Ocean liner.
Ocean liner. Out on the water. Yep. They've said we're not staying anywhere near the village, so they brought their own
boat.
Small, but, you know, basically a boat that takes, a luxury boat that takes people cruising.
What do you think?
Just park that out on the water.
What do you think's going to go on that boat, Jim?
Lots.
Who pays for the boat, Jim?
I'm not sure how that works.
It's interesting, isn't
it? Well, who are we talking about with the Dream Team?
Yeah.
Not called that anymore, but whatever they are. There'd be athletes there that earn $100 million.
There would be.
But do you reckon they splash it?
I don't know.
Or do they say to the US,
bring it here.
Fellas, we're not staying there. You better put something better together.
Where are you staying, Daz?
I'm staying in a little place called Barra, which is not far away from the Olympic Village demo. Not too far away from where it's all going to take place. Head off on Friday, and the demo is going to be unbelievable. Going to be fantastic,
Duke,
to be over there.
Can I put this to you? Edward, I know you'll be very busy, so you won't have a lot of time, but if you have a morning or an afternoon, could I see you wandering up Ipanema Beach with a little bit of arse floss on? Nothing else? Parking yourself on a towel?
I think the chance of me being in a budgie smuggler on Copacabana, very, very slim.
That's how they roll over there.
I know they do. I'll be wandering down there just to make sure I check that out.
Josh, you wore sunglasses at Hugh Hefner's party. I think you're up for anything.
Yeah, that's another story, that is. That was a low moment. I'll be honest with you. Tell you what, have you ever been to Rio before?
No.
I was lucky enough to go there for the World Cup a couple of years ago. It is an unbelievable place. No rules. Anything goes. So downtown Ipanema Copacabana, there will be some of the biggest parties. It will be the biggest celebration. And everyone will get over the fact that the rooms are a bit small, or, you know, the tap didn't work, Chief. Come on.
How many people will come home with their wallets, Duke?
That won't be a big issue. Won't be a big... There'll be that much security. There will be the army. There will be police on every corner. If you wander down the wrong street, you'll find yourself in a bit of trouble there.
Duke, I saw the film of it the other day, just as Bill and I were doing the rush hour. It was up on the screen. And I'm not... You've sort of walked past it a little. I'm talking about vision on their famous beach of not the beautiful women, blokes with G-bangers on.
Really?
didn't see that last time I was there.
Disappearing up the old arse cheeks, Duke, as they're wandering down the beach, three blokes. Is that, would that be you and Seb Costello?
I don't think that'll be Seb and I. I'd like to see Chief with that sporting that look.
Probably not going to happen, Duke.
Given that he's staying in Hawthorn.
You'd just be passing yourself off as part of the track and field team, will you?
Me? No. Oh. I'll be...
There's a line coming here.
Just setting me
up for javelin.
Oh, Domo's coming with a little bit of a zinger.
No, I can see you building up to it.
A commission meeting in Brisbane today. What can you tell us, if anything?
Just at the AFL, whatever they did discuss internally, Jim, and that is in the, it includes the lead-up to the meeting today and the meeting itself with Brisbane in attendance, they won't be saying too much publicly. They need to be presenting a pretty positive front on this, and that's the way they're going to play it out. But there are worries there. They've been there around now for a good 2 years, Das, and they've probably heightened in the last 6 months, I think, with both clubs.
Dama, was that a specially convened commission meeting in Brisbane because of the issues Brisbane are having, or do they take the commission to the other parts of the country depending on what the schedule is?
The latter, far as I know it to be, Das. They do take it around the country. They had scheduled it at the start of the year, and they may have scheduled it in Brisbane this year for the reasons that ultimately we're talking about now, the financial issues and the logistical issues. The Lions, if you go back to their successful era, and they got themselves right in the late 90s, early 2000s, they were benchmark in so many areas, and inclusive of that was the facilities they had. They are the same facilities they're still operating in now, and they are now bottom of the rung, and they haven't yet found a new home. They've had various forays into all parts of the, I suppose, extended Brisbane CBD and outside of outlying suburbs, but there's now a push, I believe, to get them near the airport. That's a bit of a growth area, but just the scope to develop what they really want there and how who's going to fund it, it's always the usual stories at play here. So there's still a lot to work out. But, Jim, as far as I see it, the AFL won't be adding its name to the doom and gloom talk.
All right, let's get down to the boundary. Sarah Fayor has been good enough to join us tonight. We welcome her for the first time, and she has with her a man who played wonderful footy for the Western Bulldogs and now part of the coaching panel there in Daniel G and Syracuse. Welcome to you both.
Thanks very much for your time tonight, Gia. Certainly it's been an emotionally grueling week for your football club in amongst a rollercoaster season. The good news is, though, you regain Delhouse and Stringer. Great news.
Yeah, it is. Obviously last weekend was pretty tough with the injuries, but as footy clubs do, we move on pretty quickly. And as you said, those few guys that are coming in, we expect them to play their role. And they're excited about a Friday night down in Geelong and against a really good opponent.
A lot of emotion last week, Gia. We saw some pretty graphic scenes in the rooms. Did you sit down and talk to all the players about that?
Not really. Bevo sort of touched on it a little bit on Monday. We had lunch together, but they came in, did their recovery, just said what I just said then. That, you know, we were there for the players. We supported them. The boys had their ops. Mitch on Sunday, Redder on Tuesday, and then business as usual. You've got to get onto the game, which is only 6 days' time, so the boys moved on pretty quickly.
Pretty clinical, old Danny. Didn't deal in emotion too much, my old mate down there. Now, let me talk about you for a moment. Now, I understand, did you go and play a game somewhere and wreck your knee in recent times? Is that true?
Yeah, Das. I got the itch, and it didn't go very well. So, but I was more nervous about calling Bevo and telling him that I'd done my knee over there.
And how was that received?
He was pretty calm about it, Bevo, actually. So David Young did the op on the Monday night. I couldn't get to training on the Tuesday, but was back in Thursday and flew to Sydney, and we got a good win.
Where did you play, Gia?
I played down in Beaconsfield, and it was a bit of a struggle. I didn't go as well as what I thought, boys. So that's definitely retirement for me, and just look forward to coaching the boys now.
Hey, Daniel, you spent the night in Geelong as a club last night. It has raised some eyebrows in some quarters, but just take us through why you felt as a club it was the right thing to do for this particular game.
Yeah, a couple of things, Damo. I think getting the opportunity to train on the stadium. So we did that yesterday afternoon. Normal captain's run like we would. And then because of a Friday night game, there's a chance that there could be some traffic on the Friday night, and it could take an extra hour for the boys to get here. So rather than them sit in the car, we just sort of treat it like an interstate trip. Boys get up this morning, have their breakfast, do what they normally would do, and then get ready for the game tonight.
It's a proven method, Gia, because the last Victorian-based team to do it was Melbourne when they got beaten by 180-odd points.
Well, let's hope it doesn't go that way, Jase. But the last team that beat Geelong on a milestone game was Melbourne. So hopefully we can do that tonight and wreck Jimmy and Corey Enright's party.
You touched on some of the changes with Sarah there a moment ago, Daniel. Zane Cordy coming in for his first game of the year, two games last year, having been drafted in 2014. Been in the news for the wrong reasons, but obviously the club's put great faith in him tonight.
Yeah, we have, and he's played some really good footy down at VFL level, earned his spot. Obviously, we've got a couple of injuries, but we're, again, looking for him to play his role tonight and get the job done on one of their key forwards.
We were having a chat earlier, Gia, about Tom Boyd, and there's so much discussion and debate about him. What are the expectations internally at the Bulldogs in terms of what his performance requires?
To create a contest, as simple as that. We know Tom's going to evolve, and as his career goes on, he's going to clunk marks forward. He's a big kid. He's got to probably grow into that body still, but we've been rapt with the way he's competed, usually outnumbered. You know, some people don't take notice of that, but internally we do, and he's been creating that contest even last year when he came in. So he brings our ground level players into the play, and we'll be looking for him to do that again tonight against some really formidable defenders, experienced defenders, but we think he's definitely up for the challenge.
Hey, Jay, we obviously knew Mitch Wallace and Jack Redpath, big injuries, but Suckling, Dale Morris and Boyd, tell us a bit about how long out we're going to have them out of the game for.
No, we expect them all to play next week. Obviously, we've got an eight-day break. So, you know, with the six-day turnaround, we weren't going to risk it. And, you know, we gave them every chance, but they'll be definitely right next week for us.
Daniel, it's an incredible week for milestones. You're seeing two of the famous Geelong names this night experiencing milestones. Obviously, North Melbourne and Fremantle as well. But you've got one of your own in Easton Wood who's crept up to 100 games, and I reckon his last 40 have been as good as anyone's at the footy club. Is that fair to say?
Oh, yeah, he's been amazing, Woody, and, you know, what he did last year. And I think Bevo gave him confidence to really back himself and become one of the best intercept defenders in the competition. He's continued that on. You know, he's now a captain, unfortunately, because Bob got injured at the start of the year, and he's held himself extremely well. And, you know, it's a credit to him. You know, he's had some injuries earlier in his career, but as you said, his last, you know, 40 or so games, played with confidence, and as I've said with the other guys, we're looking for him to do that again tonight for us.
Last time this side got beaten in what you'd say is a blowout was the last time they played Geelong earlier in the year. Gee, I think Paddy Dangerfield had 48 disposals and was out of control. Would you look at maybe a tag tonight or something a bit different with him?
Yeah, we've definitely learnt from that night. Darcy didn't go well for us, not only in the midfield, but as a forward line group, we didn't test out their defence, and I think you'll see that we put a bit more time into those guys tonight.
Hey, Gia, nice to speak to you, by the way. Been
thanks,
a while.
JB.
Fascinated with our man here, the Duke's relationship with the people he played with the Western Bulldogs. I get the feeling it's not great. To the point where Brad Johnson came into the rush hour a couple of weeks ago, said he'd had his 40th and it had been a bit of a festival, went for about sort of 2 or 3 weeks and lots of functions. The Duke wasn't invited to any of them, and it's my understanding, talking to Jono, that a lot of his old mates actually got to Jono and said, please make sure Duke isn't invited. Were you one of those?
Well, I didn't get invited to Jono's as well, so I'm in Darce's, camp here. But, Darce was quite an intense unit when he was playing. And the infamous story when he whacked Murph and knocked him out of training always comes up.
Yeah,
how can you whack Murph?
It's like Jacko whacking Robbie Flower.
You haven't spent enough time with Murph. He's easily whackable.
You're making some good points, but still, not many do whack their teammates and knock them out. But he was a great player, a great leader for us, Darce, and he's still close mates with a few of us.
Yeah, you won't drive a wedge between Danny and I.
Not
Jim,
at all. We're tight.
Exactly.
We're tight.
I just looked at him in the Bushnells, and there's a massive, great big smile. There's always been an intrigue around the G and Syracuse teeth, which Nathan Brown's always said are very small. But I think there is a massive wedge to drive there, to be brutally honest. Hey, G, are you enjoying what you're doing? That's the main thing. You finished playing a very nice career, of course. Finished playing and now you're back in clubland. How's that all going?
No, I'm loving the coaching. There's a few that test me out and you'd probably know who those guys are in the forward line. But I'm enjoying the coaching and since I've come in, obviously had a passion for it when I finished up, and nothing's changed over the last 18 months. Still love the game and still love trying to make the boys better, and hopefully, we see a really good output from definitely the forwards, but everyone tonight.
Good luck, big night for you. We wish you well with it.
No worries. Thanks very much for having me, guys.
Good on you, Danny.
Daniel G in Syracuse down there talking to Sarah Fayor.
Great to have Sarah on board tonight. Yes. Fantastic.
Yeah, well, Jono cut a few of them adrift, has he?
Yeah. Well,
he's moved down this part of the world, Jono, so he's pretty much dead to us.
He got rid of the Duke, and when I spoke to him, there was no concern with cutting the Duke either. In fact, it feared to me like he'd already had.
Cut Gere as well.
Well, that's interesting. That's interesting. Maybe because Gere's in clubland and he's
maybe,
now in
maybe
the media.
Maybe because Gere's mates with Duke.
Yeah, that might be it too. It's a weird former playing group at the Western Bulldogs.
Very, very
units there that don't have a lot of time for each
very
other.
Very, very tight group. Jono, he'll be spoken to, Jono, over that.
Yeah, I remember speaking to Danny Southern once about the Duke. There wasn't a lot coming there either. So just a former playing group that seemed to me to be a bit fractured, Purple. And it is a famous night tonight for the Geelong Footy Club because Jimmy Bartel and Corey Enright play. Well, Boris breaks the game's record, of course, held by Ian Nankervis, and Jimmy brings up game number 300 on the same night. They've played in 185 wins together, if you don't mind. Bartel, 185, can you believe that? Out of the possible 300, of course, for Jimmy Bartel. Only Bartlett and Burke have played in more winning games together, and that's 193, of course, in that famous era for the Tigers. A player who played a lot of footy with both Boris and Jimmy is, of course, David Wojcinski, three-time premiership star of the Cats. And he's been good enough to come into the box and join us now before the game where he's tossing the coin. Wojak, welcome.
Thanks, boys. Thank you.
These are two great mates of yours. You're going to look forward to tonight, I'd imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. They're two of the best blokes you'll ever meet. Not only that, two of the best teammates you ever want to play with. So they thoroughly enjoy it. They deserve tonight. Couldn't be happy for them, and it's just amazing that they're both playing their milestone games on the same night together.
Can I pick your brains a little bit about Boris Enright first? We had him as a guest on the Footy Show last night, and he was speaking and laughing and chatting, and I looked at it and thought, in his first 50 games for Geelong, he would have hardly said a word, Boris, I reckon.
Yeah, he probably wouldn't have either, and there wasn't too many words spoken back then, but Boris is a pretty quiet guy, but once he opens up, yeah, he lets loose, so he's a pretty funny boy when you get to really know him.
Look back at that era, Wojak, that you were a massive part of, and caught up with Bomber Thompson on radio during the week, and you go back to that year where it went a bit pear-shaped, I think it was 2006, and it was nearly reset and rechanged then. Do you ever think back and think, God, it's a knife edge, because after that, this has been one of the most successful eras any club's had in the history of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, it spot on, mate. It was a knife edge. Yeah, it could have gone either way. Bomber leaving, and then all of a sudden the club gets a whole new clean out. But thankfully the club stick strong and kept everyone on board and kept re-signed Bomber and all that, and because we honestly believe that we had the talent to do it, but it was just that we needed to learn how to do it, and eventually we sort of learned how to do it, and it all happened and clicked into gear from there.
So where do they rank in the players that you played with over your career? Both Enright and Bartel.
Yeah, right up the top, mate. Yeah, you wouldn't see a more courageous bloke than Jimmy Bartel. Absolute, one of the most courageous blokes you ever meet. Corey Enright, one of the smartest footballers you ever see, And I played a lot of footy next to Boris down the back line. So, he was always there, dropping back in front of you to, intercept the footy. So, and always, structuring up things really well. And, he was just a fantastic person to play with.
The emotion attached with ending the careers of the players we've talked about, and you're obviously part of that group yourself, and how hard is it, and what have you made of someone like a Steve Johnson who wanted to go and keep playing elsewhere?
Yeah, it's interesting. I obviously wasn't at the club at the time when Stevie left, and I don't know the ins and outs of what happened there, but it would have been nice to see Stevie and these guys finish their careers at Geelong, but I guess it's not the end of the world that they've gone on and kept going to another club, just to prove that they can still do it, I guess, and why not? If you feel you can play on, then why not play on, I reckon.
What about yourself? Did you continue playing?
Mate, I did locally, and I did my knee after about 11 games.
So. Another one.
Oh, the good local footy grounds, mate. They're not too flash, but it was all right.
And I understand you coach the famous Geelong College here in the local area with the young Brownless
Oscar
boy.
Oscar Brownless.
In your side. You enjoying that?
Yeah, it's good, mate. I really enjoy coaching. They're a great bunch of boys, to coach up there. It's a really good school. Unfortunately, we haven't won a game this year, but I would like to get one. We've got our last game for the year tomorrow, so hopefully we can pinch one in the last game. But young Oscar goes all right. He's a good young fella to coach. He's pretty professional about the way he goes about things, and I really do hope that down the track that he gets drafted somewhere, and I think he's good enough to do it.
Where do you get the professionalism from?
Yeah, I'm not too sure, mate. Yeah, definitely.
It's not from the old man.
there's some schools that take it pretty seriously, Wojak, aren't there? There's some scholarships handed out and some pretty heavy footy programs you'd come up against, I'd imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, we don't do any scholarships down here, but we come up against some pretty handy schools that have got a lot of good talent in their side. So, but you know, at the end of the day, we just want to be a really competitive, football team that goes out there no matter who we play against and just give it our all and play four full quarters and
Tell us. Oh, sorry, yep. Go, Chief.
I was just going to say, I dare say there's a few other former teammates of the two tonight that'll be here. What's on the agenda? There must be a gathering somewhere.
Well, I might have to send a message out later on to find out what the go is. But yeah, I wasn't keen to have a real big night tonight. But I'm no doubt there'll be a couple of beers getting drunk tonight. I'm sure of it.
Is there one game that you've played with these two and in your time that stands out more than any other?
Oh, not really. There's so many games that these boys played, incredible football throughout their career, and there's too many to say. I guess they're, there's so many. Like I said, so many games they played brilliant football that you couldn't pick one out.
I spent a fair bit of time with Cameron Ling on the weekends on a Saturday night, and he just likes to think of himself as the main man down here, and he owns all the pubs and got a fair bit of strut. And I get the feeling his nose has been put out. In fact, I know it has by Danger. Coming to town and suddenly becoming bigger than everyone combined. Is the presence of Danger just unseated Lingy and a few of the others that have been
involved? Oh, it might have been, yeah. There's a lot of kids talking about Danger down here. Yeah. Lingy's name doesn't get mentioned too much by the young kids around here. It's all Paddy and Danger. So, yeah.
She's like made a difference, hasn't he?
He has, mate. Yeah, he's been fantastic coming to the club and he's so exciting to watch and, yeah.
What do you make of the premiership hopes this year? Haven't been a flag. It's for a long time in a Geelong recent history since 2011. But do you feel what they're doing in 2016 shapes up well?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I think they're. I think that the last couple of weeks, I don't think they've played their best football. They've obviously travelled to Perth against Freo, who are pretty much up and about. And it's always tough to go and win over there. So that was, even though they weren't playing their best footy, I still think that was a pretty handy win to go over to Freo and take the points there. And then last week against Adelaide, they played some pretty good footy and we were able to get rid of them in the second half. So I think if Geelong hit their straps, I think they can give it a real shake this year, definitely.
Hey, Wojak, this game, Western Bulldogs is the Just Think round, of course. Just Think's the club. This is Geelong Footy Club's longest-running community program, established in 2008 by yourself, Tom Harley and Jim Kelly. It raises awareness and provides education to young people in the wider community about the impact of alcohol misuse, responsible drinking, and for people to just think before things get out of hand.
Yeah, absolutely. The campaign kicked off in 2008. In response to a few ordinary things that were happening out on the streets here in the nightlife in Geelong, and not just Geelong, but all around Australia and Victoria, there was a 60 Minutes segment there with James McCready Bryant, who was a young fellow that was out celebrating his 18th birthday and was king hit out on the town, and it was that 60 Minutes episode that we watched where the cameras were in his house and it panned through his bedroom and you can see the 2007 premiership posters all up on his wall, that's when it really hit home. And we'll come to the club the next day and went and saw our media guy and said, is there anything we can do about this? I've seen a segment on 60 Minutes last night. Is there anything we can do as a club to, show that this is not okay? And he said, funny you say that because Tom Harley and James Kelly have already been in and said the same thing. And it sort of kicked off from there and the Geelong Advertiser got on board. And it's been unbelievable that it's still going 8 years later. And I really do think it's had an impact. And, it's changed a lot of young people's attitudes about going out on the town.
And the Orange Banded Sox are part of that tonight. The
yep,
players
absolutely.
Are wearing.
Yep.
Well done. It's fantastic. Jimmy Bartel, Zach Smith and Mitch Duncan are the current ambassadors out of the team. So Just Think, promoting healthy choices around drinking and highlights the consequences of alcohol-fueled incidents and the effects they have on young people and their loved ones. So it's a very serious message. Well, Jack, great catching up with you. We don't do it enough. As I say, three-time premiership player of this amazing footy club. You had a great career while you were down here and it seems like you're enjoying your life post-footy. So well done with that.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, mate.
David Wojcicki, star.
I reckon Damo got away with something there.
Oh, what did he slide out?
He said it's been a long time since they won a flag, 2011. And Duke didn't batter an eyelid. Does Damien understand what a long time is?
I said in the context of the Geelong history, Chief.
Yeah,
5 years.
Try 60 years, Damo, since the other club added tonight 1-1.
Yep.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks football.